All right, so today we're going to dive deep, really deep, into a case that I think, I think it highlights a really important area of law usury, and specifically how it plays out here in Florida. We're talking about Velletri v. Bixson, a case that revolves around a loan, a pretty substantial one at that, $250,000 to be exact, and it really, you know, it has implications for anyone who's ever dealt with loans, whether they've borrowed money or lent it.
Yeah, definitely. This isn't just some obscure legal thing from the past. It's a real life example of how courts look at the true, I guess, the real cost of borrowing money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to break down how a loan that looks, you know, kind of straightforward on paper ended up, well, not so straightforward.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so fascinating. You know, at first glance, you have Susan Velletri taking out this $250,000 loan from Providence Mortgage, which was serviced by Thomas Dixon. And the purpose was for her to buy and renovate a property.
Right. And the interest rate, the stated one at least, was 15% over 2 years. I mean, on the surface, that sounds like a typical, maybe even kind of reasonable loan agreement, right? Mm-hmm.
You'd think so, right. But here's where things start to get, well, tricky, I guess. At the closing, a big chunk of that $250,000 was withheld. We're talking over $78,000. And that included, let's see, an origination fee of $12,500, a little over $500 for initial interest, and then a whopping $65,000 that was put into escrow specifically for those renovations.
Right. So you've got almost a third of the loan that Velletri couldn't actually use right away.
Yeah. And here's the kicker. Even though all that money was held back, her monthly payments were calculated as if she had received the full $250,000. So when she ended up defaulting on the loan and Dixon tried to foreclose, the big legal battle became, well, was this even a legal loan to begin with? Or did the way they structured it make it what's called usurious?
That's the million-dollar question.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe for some of our listeners who aren't super familiar with legal terms, usury basically means charging an illegally high interest rate.
Right. And Florida law is, Florida law is pretty specific about what's considered usury. It's not just one number that applies to every loan. It gets more nuanced than that.
It does. So in Florida, and this is specifically for loans under $500,000, there are two main levels of usury, civil usury and criminal usury. The difference is how high that interest rate goes. So if the rate falls between 18% and 25%, that's what we call civil usury.
Okay. And what about when it goes higher than that? What happens when the rate goes above 25%?
Then you're talking about criminal usury. And as you might guess, crossing that line into criminal territory, well, that comes with way more serious penalties.
Mm.
In this case, Velletri v. Dixon, it ended up falling squarely into that criminal usury category.
Interesting. So let's go back to the beginning. What did the trial court make of this whole situation? I mean, they saw that a good chunk of the loan was withheld, but the interest was being calculated on the full amount. What was their take on it?
So the trial court, they looked at it and said, yeah, this is civil usury. They saw that the effective interest rate, the actual rate Velletri was paying, was too high. They figured it was somewhere between that 18% and 25% range. So they said Dixon could go ahead with the foreclosure, but there was a catch.
Oh, there's always a catch in these legal cases. What was it in this case?
The court penalized him. They said, okay, you can foreclose, but you have to give back double the interest you've already collected, basically acknowledging that something wasn't quite right with the loan.
Got it. So a slap on the wrist, but not a complete invalidation of the debt.
Exactly. But Velletri, she wasn't satisfied with that outcome. She felt the problem was bigger than that. So she appealed the decision, arguing that the loan wasn't just civilly usurious, but actually criminally usurious right from the start.
And what was the basis of her appeal? What was she focusing on?
She really zeroed in on that initial withholding of over $78,000. She argued that by holding back such a big part of the loan but still charging interest on the full $250,000, the actual interest rate she was paying was way above that 25% criminal usury limit. It wasn't just about that 15% stated rate. It was about, like, the real economic impact of how the loan was structured.
Right. I mean, it makes sense. If you borrow, say, $100, but you only get $70 up front, and you're paying interest as if you got the full $100, well, it costs you a lot more to borrow that $70 than what that stated interest rate might suggest.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So how do we figure out that real effective interest rate? It's not just about looking at what the paperwork says. Florida law actually has a specific way to calculate this.
So what's the formula? How do they do it?
It's based on a precedent. A case called St. Petersburg Bank and Trust Co. v. Ham. It established this principle that you have to look at the substance of the loan, the actual economics of it, not just the number written on the agreement. And this idea is also reflected in Florida Statute Section 687.03, which actually lays out a three-step test to determine the true annual cost of the loan.
All right, well, let's break it down then. What's the first thing you look at when you're trying to figure out this effective interest rate?
First, you take all the fees and charges the borrower had to pay upfront, or that the lender withheld as a condition of getting the loan. You know, things like those origination fees, and in this case, that big renovation escrow payment, and you calculate that total as a percentage of the original loan amount. So for Velletri, that $78,013.70 withheld from that $250,000 loan, that's a significant chunk, like 31.2%.
Wow, so right off the bat, over 30% of the loan is not even in her hands.
Exactly, and remember, she's still paying interest on the full amount. So the next step is to figure out how this affects the annual interest rate she's actually paying.
Okay, so what's step two?
Step two is to take that percentage and annualize it over the term of the loan. Velletri's loan was for 2 years, so you divide that 31.2% by two, which gives you 15.6% per year. Basically, that's the annual cost to her of not having access to that portion of the loan principal.
All right, so now we've got the annualized cost of the money that was withheld. What's the last piece of the puzzle? How do you get to that final effective interest rate the court uses to determine if it was usury?
It's pretty straightforward. You add that annualized percentage from the withholdings to the stated interest rate on the loan. So in Velletri's case, we take the 15% stated interest and add that 15.6% we just calculated. That gives us a total effective interest rate of 30.6%.
Whoa, that's a big difference. 30.6%. That's definitely over that 25% limit for criminal usury in Florida. So the appellate court saw that number, 30.6%, and they said, yep, this is criminal usury.
Yep, that's exactly what they did. They said the loan was criminally usurious from the very beginning. And that, of course, contradicted what the trial court had decided earlier.
Now, I'm sure the lender, Thomas Dixon, didn't just roll over and accept that. What kind of arguments did he make to try to defend himself?
He tried a couple things. First, he said, hey, I didn't actually receive all that $78,000. He pointed out that part of it went to the origination fee, and a big chunk, that $65,000, was sitting in escrow for the renovations. Basically saying, I didn't have all that money in my pocket.
So it sounds like he was trying to say that just because the money was withheld, it shouldn't count against him when calculating the interest.
Pretty much. But the appellate court wasn't buying it. They basically said it doesn't matter who was physically holding the money at closing. The important thing was that Velletri, the borrower, didn't have access to a big part of the money she was borrowing and was paying interest on. Usury, they said, is all about the structure of the deal, the economics of it for the borrower.
Okay, that makes sense. What was his other argument? Did he claim he had no idea he was charging such a high rate? Like, he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah, he tried that too. He claimed he had no corrupt intent. He was essentially saying, I didn't intentionally set out to charge a rate that crossed the line into criminal usury. Maybe he was arguing he was just following standard practices, or he didn't realize how those upfront fees and the escrow would affect the final interest rate.
That seems tricky, though. How do you prove what someone intended? It's not like they write it down.
Right, but in Florida, when the math clearly shows a criminally usurious rate, like in this case, the court often assumes that the lender meant to charge that rate. It's kind of like if you structure a loan and the numbers just happen to add up to an illegal rate, the court presumes you knew what you were doing. They focus on the actual cost for the borrower, not what the lender might say they were thinking.
So what happens when a loan is found to be criminally usurious? It's different from civil usury, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a huge difference. With civil usury, the lender might still be able to foreclose, though they'll have to pay back some of that interest. But criminal usury, that's a whole other ballgame. The entire loan is voided, like it never happened. The borrower doesn't owe anything. And the lender, they have to return every single payment the borrower made, all the principal and all the interest. It's a total loss for the lender.
Wow, that's a pretty big consequence. So in this case, Dixon couldn't foreclose on Velletri's property and he had to pay her back everything she already paid him.
Yep, the appellate court reversed everything the trial court had decided. They said the debt was canceled and Dixon had to pay back all the money.
So let's bring this back to our listeners. What's the big lesson here? Why should people care about this Velletri v. Dixon case?
I think the main takeaway is that courts are going to look beyond just that stated interest rate. They're going to look at what's really happening, the economics of the deal. Lenders can't hide behind fees and escrows and all that to try to get around usury laws.
So lenders need to be careful about all those extra costs and how they impact the real interest rate. What about borrowers? What should they take away from this?
Borrowers, definitely read the fine print. Pay close attention to every fee, every charge, and any money that's being withheld from the loan amount. Those things can add up and make the loan way more expensive than you think. Don't just focus on the monthly payment. Look at the whole picture.
So, bottom line, whether you're lending or borrowing, you got to pay attention to the effective interest rate, the real cost of the loan, especially when there are fees and escrows involved. Velecri v. Dixon is a perfect example of how Florida courts deal with usury and the serious consequences if you break the law.
Absolutely. This case shows that how you structure that loan really matters. Just calling something a fee or putting money in escrow doesn't protect you if the real cost for the borrower is too high.
So, listeners, one last thing to think about. How many other financial transactions might have hidden costs or unexpected consequences? This case reminds us to be vigilant, to really examine the details, and to understand the law. What other areas of finance deserve a closer look? That's something to consider. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.